Wrestling. They know what's now. We hold it down. Jumpin' 10 podcast. We hold it down. They know what's now. Good morning, Jobber Nation. Welcome to the only morning wrestling show there is. I chuckled. I said, what is the title over there? It's a wrestling only morning show. I appreciate that. That was good thinking on your toes, no Mr. problem. Black. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may, where you are watching with us. Come jump into the Jobber Tears Lounge on this Friday morning as we are on the road to WrestleMania 40. Woo! Not only that, hey DeAndre, welcome. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, all. Good morning.
1, 2, 3, freak.
Okay. Look at the people in the building. Ron the Flipper. Good Gene. Oh, shout out to Gene for popping out last viewing party. That was such a dope surprise. Yeah. I was like, oh shit, my nigga Gene in the building. He came outside. Good morning. Come on, guys. Come on in. We're gonna talk some wrestling. Oh, good morning from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Oh, yeah. Good morning. Oh, that's so dope. I definitely Wilkins. So Sir Wilkins is out for today. He had some business to attend to. So we wish him well. All is well. We will be back to the trio next week. But today you get me and Mr. Black. So
Kyle.
Good morning, all. Hey, yo, Kyle. Light bright in the building. Oh, Aunt from Minneapolis. Good morning, Miss Ann.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. What's out there in Minneapolis? You know, that was the rumor of, you know, WrestleMania 41 being in Minnesota. So you got to give us the ins and outs. Brandon Mack in the building. What's good? What's good? What's good? So you guys that are on the live feed, today actually will probably be a really good day since it is just the two of us. If you guys have, my favorite place in the world, New Orleans and the Benola's in the building, y'all. So any questions that you guys have, if you guys want our honest and open opinion about, put them in the comments. We're going to start off with you guys. We're going to have a good, as normally we would have a conversation amongst ourselves. Oh,
Bromland.
Ohio, which was just announced that Cleveland, Ohio will be the host city for SummerSlam this year.
Yes, sir.
So super excited for that in the Cleveland Browns Stadium. It's going to be a good time. Listen, if they, I'm not going to hold you. If they pull Drew versus CM Punk for SummerSlam, I will go. That'll be my cash.
CM Punk's not injured.
He'll be good by then. That's August. He'll be good.
All right, cool. Next, you know, again, until he apologizes to Cole Cabana and his mother, the curse was never be lifted.
You know what's so funny? I was watching an episode of 911 because, you know, the new season came on last night, so I got to catch up. So there was an episode where, okay, Gene, we starting off on the rocket. Hold on, let me finish the story real quick. So I was watching 911 the other night. Thank you to your partner. Appreciate that. Listen, tell a friend. I used to say that always. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Mm-hmm. Malik from OKC in the building. Good morning. Good morning. Champion in the building.
Okay.
So yeah, I was watching 911 and there was this episode where this girl thought she was cursed, but it was actually a guy like stalking her.
He sent you the beer.
Okay.
That shit was good.
Now it all connects the dots. That makes so much more sense. Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. Because I know you guys, I think, are an hour behind us. So it definitely is still very much morning for you guys out in Minnesota. So that was just real quick. So the girl thought she was being cursed all around, but it actually was a guy stalking her and he was trying to get something of hers to get it back. It was hilarious. No, it was actually a random ass like bracelet shit that was like fake low-key. All right, so we'll start off with some questions. Oh, my good brother Nate. Storyline teasers in the building. You guys make sure to go
check out that Triple B shirt.
Check out their launch of some new dope shirts in time for WrestleMania season.
Let's talk about some of the dope shirts that they have on Storyline Tees, though. They got It's Kane.
I wish I wore one.
That shirt is fire. They got the nation domination.
One of my faves, which I'm going to wear tomorrow, because in honor of 316 tomorrow, the Hellraiser Austin 316 shirt fire. That Storyline Tees has fire. Is definitely
that
a
Roman
must.
Reigns shirt. Don't forget the Kofi Kingston shirt.
One of my other faves for last year's WrestleMania. It was kind of like the Mortal Kombat theme.
Fire.
It was Roman and it was Cody and it had everybody else. Yeah. Like it was selecting characters. I had wore that out in LA and everybody kept asking me, like, yo, where'd you get that shirt? What is this? What is this? And I'm like, good bro from Storyline Tees, who's also our official t-shirt maker, and where you guys can get all of our merch, Jobber Tears merch on Storyline Tees as well. And we will hopefully within the next month and a half or so be able to give a sneak peek of this year's Jobber Slam t-shirt that Nate is working tirelessly doing. So we appreciate you, Nate. We thank you, Nate, so fire. Much. So, all right, let's go to some questions. Starting off with Gene. Gene came out the cannon smoking. He asked, what are our thoughts on Mercedes Moné's debut?
I guess I'll go for real talk.
Okay.
She fits there.
Okay.
Like, I really feel, unless she does a lot of, I don't know her personally, it looks like she did a lot of soul searching and she looks healthy. You understand? She don't look like as skinny as she did in WWE. She looks like that. She's eating good.
Okay.
You feel me? She looks great. Like
a whole bunch of ramen probably, but
Ew, nobody eats ramen, but y'all.
I don't eat that. I've never had that. Well, outside of like ramen noodles, but like ramen, I don't eat that.
That shit is nasty.
Actually, shout outs to Nick and Maurice out there in Japan.
Facts.
Probably eating all the ramen there.
No, ramen's not good.
But I'm just saying, just because you don't like it don't mean other people don't like it.
There's other stuff like that you can eat in Japan besides ramen.
Well, you can probably... Oh, shit. Me and Mikey have read that... I don't know if it was in Japan or whatever, but... There was people that had got sick from eating sea turtle meat because it was toxic. I had no idea.
I'm not surprised. The water's toxic.
No.
Like, our water from here gets it around the world, so I'm not surprised. But she looks happy.
Okay.
She looks thick, like mad happy. But for me, it's just like, I said this last week, I'll keep on saying this. Okay? Like... Yo, and I'm not downplaying her debut. I'm not downplaying it. I'm not comparing it to CM Punk. I'm not comparing it to Edge. Because everybody been comparing it. Oh, CM Punk and Edge at this number.
They've been comparing the YouTube views.
You understand? What's her name again? Monet? What's her real name? What's her real name? Monet Money?
What you want to call her today?
Mercedes Moné?
Okay,
oh, that's it. Okay. Like,
it's like, what do you want to call her
Mercedes
today?
Moné. Is for one, she's black.
Yes.
And two, she's a woman.
Yes.
I expect this from y'all.
Right. Okay. And I like that you brought that up because I always say that in low key, women wrestling is not a priority for their fan base. It is not. It is definitely something that's on the back burner, which I kind of hope with her coming into the fold, it kind of balances out a little bit.
Yeah, it's not her though. It's just the company.
But correct. So for me, because I actually just watched it like this morning, like as on my way here physically, I watched AEW Dynamite because what were we doing Wednesday night? Oh, Wednesday night we went to go hang out with the Blacks. Shout out to Tasha and Brooklyn
Shout out to
Black.
The Blacks.
And then we had Watch Love is Blind reunion. So AEW had to be on hold on that one. But her debut, so there's pluses and minuses. Do I think it should have opened the show? No. I think that had you build the anticipation throughout the show, I think you would have been able at that second hour, at the top of the second hour, maybe would have been more impactful. I mean, it still was dope. It's in our hometown. It definitely, I think they were going for the CM Punk blueprint in terms of when he debuted in Chicago. So I definitely think they went that route. I wouldn't have opened the show like that. And then it went into a world title match after that.
Yeah.
That's what kind of like got me. But for me, the promo that she did, it was heartfelt. I totally understand in terms of, you know, the struggles, the trials and tribulations, even the last 2 years for her has not been easy. But it gave me more of like GM vibes. It gave me more of like, I'm going to be the one in control of the women's division and getting this all straightened up. Like, I that was the vibe I got. Like, it gave me locker room leader. Like, I'm just coming in and I want to be able to wrestle all these women and do all these things and you know, build on this platform, which is, once again, an amazing thing. But that's a lot of weight to put on somebody's shoulders just jumping into the fold, too. So it'll be very interesting to see. I mean, so then fast forward to the ending of the show, which had Willow versus Rio. Something listen, everybody knows I love Willow. There's nothing wrong with her. Love her, love her to death. Don't think that I would have flipped it. I wouldn't have. I would have had the world title match at the end.
Yeah, because
then you could have ended off with Swerve coming in and doing what that same scene. Right. If they just would have moved it to the end of the show to give it that anticlimactic feel at the end to make you want to tune in next week, I would have kind of preferred that. I felt like at the end with Willow winning, which was great. So that's, you know, once again leading to her getting the TBS title. Yeah. TBS title shot with Julia Hart. I felt that, you know, with Mercedes coming back out again instead of Chris, because that's her girl. Like, I get it, they still have the history from New Japan. Excalibur did mention that on commentary, so I did appreciate that. But for the most part, I just felt like it was like, I'm here, I want to change how women's wrestling is viewed, and I like that. But it also, I was just like, oh, how are we gonna do this? Like, I don't know, but we shall see.
What's that girl's name? Saraya.
You can say Paige if that's easier for
you. Paige.
Yeah, I like to make life easier for you.
Did the same exact promo.
Okay.
It's literally copy and repeat when it comes to that woman's division.
Control, Alt, Delete.
Right. And mind you, I'm not saying she's a bad ad. She's a bad pickup. Because you literally, you picked up all these superstars. And only superstars you end up giving up with Jade, which is not prepared to even be on television as far as wrestling-wise. So, great pickup for them. I'm happy for them. But, again, they always do this. They get a new signee.
You get us hype.
Everything around them is good. And then a couple of weeks, it's crap.
It's the same thing.
And you realize that a lot of people are suffering from the booking, the presentation, and everything. Mm-hmm. So, again, I never will fault the wrestlers, because the wrestlers can do but so much. It's actually the company. And to me, I was just like, all right, it's cool. And it's not her. It's just, I know that, yo, Tony Khan, how long are you going to keep good faith around this? Because my thing is this. You'll come, dominate the division, get a woman's title match, and then what?
Right. But I do like that they didn't go the main title route. I do like that they went to like her kind of in that mid, because they are heavy on that mid card level type of thing. So I do like that they didn't come in hot with her going straight after Toni Storm. I can appreciate that. I definitely think it's a great pickup for AEW.
Great pickup.
However, on the business front, I don't know if that money's going, if that return on investment is going to be what it's going to be. That's my only fear, because apparently she be in the tens of millions of dollars type of situation. Well, same as Okada.
Well,
contract.
I'll never. Well, a podcast actually did mention. I forgot the name. I think Brothers Watching Wrestling or something like that.
Oh, shout out to them. That's pretty dope.
No. It's not Brothers Watch. It's like get your name right now. Continue.
That's just my only fear is the return on investment, because once again, as wonderful as a talent Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks, as she is very injury prone, and that can become a situation. Like, she's just coming off of what her doctors originally had told her would have been a career ending injury. So for her to come back into the fold, I think it's going to be great. I think it's a great pickup for AEW. I think it's a great pickup for their women's division. I like the CEO thing, but that's why I felt like the CEO thing gave me like, oh, she's GM. Oh, she about to run this women's division.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It wasn't, I don't feel like as clear as it probably could have been, but I mean, I'm here for the CEO versus DMD chance. Like, I'm here for that. Like, once we get to that point, I'm going to be here for that. But no, I think it's great. And I think it will put a lot more eyes. To Blackout Jones's point, you would have thought that was Saraya's job when she came to AEW. But I think so much time had passed from when, like, she wasn't, I don't think she was the type of star that Sasha Banks was in WWE. So I don't think that that would have ever, I don't think that would have translated her job into her job. Let me see.
All right. The podcast is called Wrestling with Homies, right?
Oh, okay.
And one of the dudes said they should never pay Okada that much money.
All right.
Reason why that I'll never say that about any wrestler getting that much money is because it's a fucking dangerous sport. Literally.
Absolutely.
Nobody bats an eye when baseball bringing all these Japanese dudes over here and pay them all this money. Literally. That's why I feel like Luka, all these other foreign country people come in there. We don't say nothing. But yeah, when it comes to wrestling, we tend to nick and pick who should get this money, who should get that money. Because at the end of the day, wrestling is dangerous.
Yeah.
To me, a lot of wrestlers are underpaid. Literally. You could literally walk and then your whole leg get destroyed.
Well, or yeah, you could take, take a crazy bump. Right. And that's it.
Or not even a crazy bump. Look at look what happened to Big E.
Yeah.
And Ryan Hollins. You feel me? I'll never say that you're making too much money as a wrestler. Because the amount of crap you had to go through, the amount of shit you have to eat before you get signed to a big company. I know how many wrestlers, right? They're wrestling for big companies. And they say that, yo, I get paid $100 per match. And then they only come on whatever they platform on 3 times a month. And I can't wrestle no one else. So for the whole month, I'm making $300 from wrestling. And like every time I do wrestle, I could be an Ironman match, a hardcore match, whatever match I could end my life really quick. Taking a bump beats the fuck out of your body. So honestly, when where y'all saying that, oh, they shouldn't give him that much money, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, how much money that Tony Khan gonna make off of them?
But that's what I mean by, and that's what I'm saying, the business side of it in terms of your return investment, because you got to think about it. Is this person going to sell merch? Is this person going to put asses in seats? Is this person going to do this? Is this person going to do that? And it's not, for me, it's never like they shouldn't be paid. Like, you know your worth, you know your value. I'm not going to ever be mad at somebody hustle, and I'm never going to be mad at, if Sasha Banks is giving $10 million a year, girl, get your $10 million. Let that shit rain on you. However, comma, on the business side, as the owner of it, you have to also, in terms of that contract, it has to be a give and take. There has to be certain stipulations. And it's the same like with football. With football contracts, guys get the minimum. They get certain perks after a certain amount of time. They get certain perks if they get to the playoffs, if they win the Super Bowl, you know, certain things like that. So I say that in saying that I hope and pray that with her contract, or really with anybody's contract, that it works in both favors. Because most of the time, sometimes contracts can be, you know, better. It can be very one-sided. So I only hope and pray that both sides, and even for Tony Khan, like, once again, they've been hit with the injury bug more often than usual. So I just hope that, you know, in those instances that there are certain, you know, things in place.
All companies go through a period of where it got mad injury.
Oh, WWE listen, goes through that. WrestleMania 32, right, Dallas. Right, oh, right, that was the least.
Come on.
I think Randall wasn't on it. Cena wasn't on it. Like, it was mad people not on that.
So I understand that. So I understand what you say about the wrestling bug. I mean, the injury bug. I understand that. That's even more than should get paid the way that they get paid. Because we went from Hogan, early Undertaker, before Mark Merrow, end up having the guaranteed contract. There was no guaranteed contract.
Well, yeah, no, you mean Kevin Nash.
No, I'm talking about No. Before Kevin Nash, the Mark Merrow, Scott Hall, my bad, I misspoke. There was no guaranteed contract.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, these guys was one move away, one bad argument from basically not making the same exact money. You feel me? Yeah. There was no, you get fired, you get a package for like 6 months, you're getting paid 9 months. There was none of that shit. You feel me? So that's why I look at everybody where like, yo, stop kind of dressing with pockets. Because at the end of the day, y'all be the first one to say, oh, he fell off. Y'all be the first one to tease these wrestlers working at an independent show. Oh, he went from WWE, now he's working in gyms. Y'all the first one to tease him.
He got to make that money. Right. Kyle's question, do you think Monet, Okada, Ospreay are needle movers for AEW? I think it'll take some time to really assess that, just because even last week, and like I said, I'm not really big on the rating thing. That's not really my perk. That's not my juice. You know what I mean? Just because people are gonna watch what they want to watch, and I'm about to sit here and be like, oh, that's that. But I feel like even last week, I think Okada and Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher had main evented, and I think on average it was like 600,000 people. You know what I mean? So I don't think that, and I think it'll take some time for especially Okada and Ospreay to connect to the American audience too as well. Even though they've been on AEW before, certain pay-per-views and matches and things like that, I think that it'll definitely take some time to actually see if they can move the needle for AEW. I think it'll put, because once again, these are all the people they sign are already the fans that they have already know them and like them. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say they're gonna move a needle that's already there. Mm-hmm. That they've already come into, you know, they've already come into the fold. Like Okada and Ospreay both have already wrestled for AEW, whether it was while they still was in Japan or not. Mm. And once again, I think it'll just take some time for them to get acclimated, for us as American fans that don't know them to get to know them and things of that nature, to actually see if they're going to be needle movers. What do you think?
I think anybody could be a needle mover with the right promotion behind them.
Okay.
Let's go back to Eugene character back in the day. Some people were so offensive about it, blah, 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 but he was moving merch. Feel me? Everybody talks shit, RIP to Bray Wyatt. Oh, Bray Wyatt's weird, blah, 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 but he's moving merch.
Feel me? Hell yeah.
Hell amount of merch. You feel me? So, AEW got to do their part to advertise these wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you have, there's levels to wrestlers. There's the loyals, the people who's loyal to their brand, and there's people who love wrestling all across, but they'll watch it to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them have this, I like to say this, WWE mindset of how a wrestler should be presented. When they first get into podcasting, when they start to branch out into other things outside of WWE. Because what I realized is people put WWE standards into all forms of wrestling. Because some people might feel like, oh, Kyle's not worth the money, blah, blah, blah. But where was the energy for Shinsuke? You had no energy, no smoke for him when he came to WWE. But a lot of people end up feeling who he was because they did a great job of presenting him yeah. a certain type of way. Because
I was like, because I went back and I had watched, NXT TakeOver Dallas, which was Sammy's last NXT match before he got called up to the main roster. But that was Nakamura's debut match on NXT for a takeover. So at the end of the day, it was definitely like, I remember that in terms of how he was presented was well, because for someone that did not know him, you know, once again, coming from Japan, from where these people are coming from, like they did, you know, promos, they did, you know, they built him to looking like, oh shit, this nigga's gonna be unstoppable. And then when he beat the Mr. NXT at that takeover, it was like, oh shit, this nigga is about, he's about. So that's what I said. I think it'll take time to really see how they present, whether it's Okada, whether it's Ospreay, whether it's Mercedes Moné. It's all about how they will present it to us as fans and how we receive it. Because once again, how you receive something is going to be different than how I receive it. So that's why I say it's hard to say who's a needle mover and who's not. But once again, that's more of a metrics thing. If you're going to really dig into that, like if this person's selling merch, is this person, are they doing meet and greets? Are they doing this? Are they doing that? You know, what are they doing outside of the company? What are they doing inside of the company? What are they doing backstage? Are they a locker room leader? Like, these are all things that you got to kind of like think about when that question is asked.
And there's a different way to be needle movers. Mm-hmm. Everybody think traditionally, oh, this person is must-see TV. I got to tune in. Dominic is somewhat of a needle mover because people love to boo this man.
Yeah.
People go boo. Oh, he's there. I get to boo him. Cool. People went to AEW. Oh, I hope West Ham is there so I can do the na-na dance. You feel me? There's different ways to be needle mover. It's not traditionally what everyone thinks it is.
And it doesn't always have to be in the ring. That's what I said. There's so many different factors that play into describing what a needle mover is. What other questions y'all have?
Being new to wrestling, maybe 6 months. I've been watching All Star. My partner and I talk a lot on the psychology and presentation.
Which, yeah, because if it don't make sense, you're gonna be like, "What the fuck is going on here?"
Exactly.
Especially someone as Miss Ann is being new into watching wrestling, exactly. Like the presentation and how things are being shown is gonna be so crucial to keep her as a fan.
And sometimes is a lot of people end up doing the same exact thing. This company did this in wrestling years ago, let's do the same exact thing. One thing I have to give commend to WWE is they evolved their whole presentation of style.
Nigga, we gonna talk about that in this week in wrestling because Raw, them Cameron angles?
The camera angles. Yo, they get it from below.
From up top. Yo, I was like, and you know what? AEW does a sprinkle of it now, I think because someone is probably watching. But they try to sometimes do that New Japan camera angles on AEW sometimes. And I've noticed that. And I was just like,
You know what their problem is?
What are they trying to do that for?
Is whoever's doing production sucks. They don't pay attention.
Fire all the people.
Because there have been times that, like, the whole Okada, he came out in AEW, right? He came out down the stairs. He's with the Young Bucks, right? Mm-hmm. Young Bucks was talking. And the way that they zoom out the camera looked like, this is shoddy. This is bad. You feel me?
Somebody did that on their phone.
Right. Right.
Like, and it was a great, listen, I actually thoroughly enjoyed the little segment thing with the, with him singing happy birthday and then fading to black and going to commercial. Like, I liked the segment, but once again, production-wise.
It's crazy. What? It sucks. What? It's just like, come on. What the anal. Another thing that I don't like production-wise is, yo, I've been watching AEW for a minute. Eddie Kingston been triple threat title. My man got triple threat titles.
Nigga got mad right? belts.
Not one time you advertised him as Ring of Honor champion. Not one time you mentioned anything he did in AEW, in Ring of Honor. Willow, most dominant, he's most present on Ring of Honor. Not one time you advertised, watch more of a match on AEW, on Ring of Honor.
And that actually was what kind of grind my gear with the match being the main event was because there was no real buildup. There was, it was just her last week saying, I'm going to face Rio. When you had Joe and Warlow, which I'm gonna get into when we talk about this week in wrestling, because it's where you had that, even though he just had won the title shot, it wasn't like they didn't have history, so it wouldn't have. And then they had the whole stupid ass Adam Cole ass reading the stupid ass story. I was sitting here like, that story was unnecessary to be told if he wasn't gonna win this damn belt. Why did we do that? But it's shit like that. Like, it's just like, y'all gotta realize, like, what's gonna be more logical in the long run. Like, that's my issue with AEW at times. It's such like a quick nut. Like, it's just like, bro, can we enjoy the time together? Can we foreplay a little? Can we, you know, like, come on now. But all right, guys, what other questions you have before we do talk about some other topics or things going on? You have a question.
Another thing that someone else said too, they were just like, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
In the last 10 years, mm-hmm. right? The same podcast said this because I kind of had a back and forth with them, right? Mm-hmm. Wrestling with Homies, right? Great show.
Shout out to Wrestling with Homies. You understand? Make sure to follow, subscribe to them.
Right. Great show. I just think that I'm looking like, there's so much to learn. They said this. One of them said this.
Okay.
Jericho tainted his legacy in the last 10 years.
I wouldn't say taint it. I would just say, like, there's no direction in and out. Like Jericho right now attaching himself to somebody to try to stay relevant.
That's including, but no. He said the last 10 years. He said the last 10 years. That's who the WWE run until now.
Nah, because that you made the list shit is what like resetted the whole shit for Jericho low-key towards the end.
Dang, we just talked about that.
Oh, real quick. I don't know. I don't know that I don't know, but if that was the case, I wouldn't have did that because it did them no justice, to be honest with you. By then everybody was all probably blown up from the top of the show, so by the time you got to the two of them, which you rarely see on Dynamite,
mm-hmm.
There is no, that's the issue with their women's division, there's a lack of interest from their fans, from their own fans. Like, you'll have people like us that are like, you know, we give them a shot every week because, you know, we like toxic shit. And it was definitely like, okay. But then when they had announced it during the show that was the main event, I was just like, but why?
Right.
I was like, right. I said, listen, and I'm the woman one that tells them, I know what y'all do every 9 o'clock hour is a women's match. So it's okay. I'm not mad about it. But it didn't make sense for me.
So do you think that Jericho tainted his legacy last 10 years?
No. I think that right now, Jericho's on life support, low-key. Because, like I said, he's attaching himself to every young person he can to stay relevant. There's no reason why him and Hook are tag team partners 1 week and then next week facing each other. Prove himself to him when y'all already have tagged with each other.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have done the one-on-one before you tagged with each other to do that? Yeah. So that, I was like, ugh.
I feel like...
So it's, but not to say, to Blackout Jones's point, it's not to say that Jericho was not the catalyst in the beginning of AEW.
He was, yeah.
And I think, you know, once again, Tony Khan has definitely acknowledged, like, he was the, you know, he helped get the TV deal. He helped in so many ways. He was the first world champ, you know, things of that nature. Like, he set the bar in that way. And that I will never take away from him. But to your point, AEW has outgrown him. Like, legit. Like, I just think that
this is very similar to what happened to a lot of older athletes in the twilight of their career. Is, mm-hmm. All right, man, I did everything. I made a big bang. I'm making all the money now. Now it's just like,
just want to have fun.
I don't have to do nothing but the record company's telling me to do. If I don't make a wrestling match based on me fighting with flutes, I'm going to do it, mm-hmm. because I earned that right to do what crazy I want to do at this point.
Shout out to Earl. Shout out to Black Wrestling in the building. Jericho has always been kind of reinventing. Yes, because that's what I said. When he did the list shit, I signed fire. On, back on.
Fire.
Like, he's had, you know, those peaks and valleys in his fire. Career. But like I said, to attach yourself to, like, Hook, I was just like, what?
But then again, it reminds me of, like,
we went from wrestling the old Mexican niggas that you used to wrestle in your previous life to now tagging with Hook's young ass, and they don't know what to do with Hook. And then you tell them in the promo, like, listen, I see potential in you.
But you know the problem is,
champion. What?
You know the problem is, honestly, is there's nothing wrong with what he's doing. You feel me? I'll never say a man has taken his legacy is what he's doing. Some people say, oh, he gained weight, he got a beer belly, this, that, that. I'm looking like, bro, once you reach a certain age, you have a dad. I mean,
he doesn't fluctuate, yeah.
Really, you're gonna fluctuate with weight. You're going through depression, you go through whatever, you're gonna fluctuate through, I mean, your weight. Some people are like, but you're a wrestler, you always gotta look good 24/7, da, da, da. And that's the pressure that we put on ourselves. Always look good 24/7. Not understanding that we're gonna have off days. You feel me? Outside of that, what he had, like he's doing everything in his power to make sure AEW is relevant. Don't forget, he was Ring of Honor champion to fight Claudio for that match. So now there's nothing wrong he's doing right now, but I feel like you said, and someone else said this too. Kendrick said it. Kendrick said it easy. He's on ice. Reason why I feel like he's on ice because you couldn't make a story of him trying to be relevant. Similar to what they did to Ric Flair in WWE. There's a storyline right there, but you're not doing it right.
Yo, but Black Eye Jones point, that's exactly what I feel every week. I'm like, 1 week that nigga got a belly, 2 weeks later, he got a whole six pack. I absolutely agree with that, because that is the fact.
But he's not that fat, though. That's the thing.
It's not even that he's fat in that sense, because once again, that's subjective. But it's just in the sense of, like, when he's on the non-six pack diet, he moves very slow in the ring. He moves very slow. Mm. So when he on the six pack diet, you're like, all right, I'm getting Jericho. The non-six-pack diet, you getting jerk.
And besides, another thing, too. I realized that Gene said it. Not everybody look at The Rock at 50+. Because The Rock taking fucking steroids. Clearly, The Rock is taking steroids.
Listen, now that's an allegation that I can't confirm nor deny, because that's not...
My brother even says it. Well, he would have admitted, though. He knows that.
I was about to say, your brother ain't never said
everybody
that.
In Hollywood taking steroids.
Listen, no, there are legal steroids that people can take. There's nothing wrong with it.
They're not tricking The Rock. But he's the CEO.
But it's just for me, like, ain't nobody going to look like Dwayne at 50 because Dwayne has kept up, because, once again, he's done movies, he's done this, he's done that. So certain things call for certain things to be done.
Thank you.
And he's literally every week, every day on his Instagram, that nigga's in his inside of his gym somewhere at 5 o'clock in the morning. So it's a certain regimen that he has, and that's why he is in that physical feature. But other than that, that's
not about look at The Rock at certain type of age. And honestly, if you want to get on Jericho, say that Jericho, no, he's not triple nine. No, he's not. if you look at early Rock days till now, he clearly did steroids.
You cannot compare early Rock to now Rock.
He did steroids. I wouldn't tell.
Listen, y'all won't hear that.
Yo, how his muscles look like? How his muscles look like inflated muscles?
Ask him.
Like,
Dwayne, why your muscles look inflated? He said, "Look inflated. Why they look like that?"
Like SpongeBob.
They don't look like SpongeBob, even though I feel like there was definitely one episode that was like that.
Yeah, like SpongeBob SpongeBob got inflated muscles to be in the competition. I just watch SpongeBob all the time.
Yo, SpongeBob,
but yeah,
it's not a kid's like show.
Just listen, put that out there. If anything, I feel like. I feel like, honestly, Ric Flair ruined his legacy towards the end.
Ah, yo. Not that he ruined it towards the end, but you, bro, give it up. And I understand it's the only thing you know. And, you know, as somebody that, I have parts in the business that I've touched, but I've never been inside the square circle. So I don't know that feeling of this is being the only thing that I know. So I empathize with Ric Flair, but baby, you're going to have to let that go. And I don't know why they keep allowing you to even do anything of that nature, because,
like, he's just so old and stuff like that person.
He
ruined his legacy. If you cut anybody that ruined his legacy.
He's not even ruined a legacy. I wouldn't even go that far, but it's just like, baby, you got to sit it on down.
Chill. This is, like,
be a grandpapa, be, you know. And also just sometimes, and I think that's where people forget, there are other things in wrestling you can do. You don't have to. And that's, once again, him battling his own demons, his own insecurities, his own self, like, he deals with that. So that's why I empathize with Rick. But Rick could be backstage, Rick could be in a writer's room, Rick could be in a helping people do promos. Like, there could be so many other valuable things. And the same with Jericho, there's so much value in these wrestlers that are over 50 that the younger talent can, you know, can utilize in that instance. But
a lot of wrestlers don't want to listen to nobody but themselves.
Oh,
and people, and like, people that they respect. Like, I've been behind closed doors. Like, a wrestler could tell them, yo, bro, son, you need to stop doing, like, yo, your gear looking kind of ashy. Oh, thank you for the advice. Wrestler the same again for the next 5 years.
Well, that's because people don't realize that presentation is so important, and that it plays a huge part in people being a fan of yours. Like, it's something that makes them memorable. It's something that they're like, oh, remember that guy? Listen, when Jericho wore the light up jacket, I was like, where the fuck can I buy that?
Facts.
Where can I get that?
Facts.
So, like, presentation, and that's why I always go hard with presentation, whether it's male or female, is because, like, that's the stuff that these young fans
look at
when they grow up. They're like, yo, I remember such and such. I remember this. I remember that. And it was because of, you know, everybody know, like, listen, if you close your eyes when you was a kid and all you heard was the glass shake, the glass break, you knew that was Austin coming out. You didn't even need to know what was going on. And you already knew who was coming out. So, like, theme song, presentation, like, all that stuff matters. And sometimes it does fall to the wayside. What other questions you guys have? This is pretty fun and exciting and different for us. You know, once again, it was a bit of a slow weekend.
Who has
wrestling.
Jericho ever had put over? A couple of people.
You know what? If Sammy wasn't backstage with the shenanigans, yeah, I definitely would have put Sammy on the list. He had the stupid ass. He was the one that had the stupid ass match with Orange Cassidy with the mimosas.
Yeah.
Okay. Even though it didn't need mimosas, yeah, but you know that, I think, you know, the OC feud was okay.
Claudio.
He didn't put him over.
Yes, he did. Yeah. With that Ring of Honor match, like, Claudio was ever forever put over, but him defeating a legend that never held that title gave him that stamp. Tony just never capitalizes from it.
And that's why that doesn't hit for me. I can't accept that.
What's name?
Because if we waste, that's what I'm saying. If you waste somebody trying to put somebody over like that, then what are we? Then why'd you do it in the first place?
What's the dude's name? Chris Cage?
Christian Cage?
No, the other dude,
Brian Cage?
No, the other Cage.
I don't fucking know. The one he fought in that
he fought in that death match.
The death match?
The death match, come with the pizza cutter. He's from GCW. They had a whole Dark Side of the Ring with him.
Oh, Nick Gage.
Nick Gage.
I'm sitting here like, what?
He gave him a spot to make him look good. To catch up. Yup. 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 He definitely did. He definitely did. He definitely did.
I give him to catch up. But that, to be honest, that nigga screams, I'm going to be a star. So I don't think that was a necessity.
No, but
I think in terms of connecting to the America, once again, the American audience.
The fact
audience,
that hard time naming 3 or 5 people means that he ain't putting no one over.
I'm going to co-sign that.
I won't say it's hard because it's like...
very hard.
because majority of his time that he was in the group, though. And
but that's the point. When you're in a group, there should be a way as you being... Look at... I always go back to Evolution. Look back to that. When you're even in a group, there has to be a time and level where you put over your own niggas in your group.
It's also with management at the same exact time, too.
But if Chris,
for example,
to be fair, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be confident and say Chris controls his creative. I'm going to be confident in that shit. So creatively, bro, you never help get Santana Ortiz in any type of position. Jake Hager was a fucking joke. Yeah. And like I said, the only person in that group that strategically that had any type of pull over was Sammy Guevara. And I said, if the shenanigans backstage and all type of shit didn't pop off, Sammy, it definitely would be Sammy
Guevara. Julian Hart, like how that he gave us stage.
For real?
Yeah, listen, ever since like how that she left him, now like she has a whole title now and everything.
Anyone that leaves Chris Jericho is probably better. wait, I saw a question. Ron the Flipper. Do y'all think Drew McIntyre will resign?
Yeah.
I don't see him going anywhere at this point. I think, you know, once again, him being this, I'm going to be the savior. You know what? He's actually taking pieces of what Seth Rollins' gimmick used to be when he was the savior. And when he worked for the, like, kind of when he was like with Triple H and the Authority and shit like that, like, I'm going to save everybody. I'm going to SOS. Like, he's kind of giving us sprinkles of what Seth Rollins used to be for us. And I think it's interesting to see. But yeah, I think he will resign with WWE. I just think, like I said, contracts take time. Contracts take conversations. And I think that has
who knows that he already signed it and just keep it to the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, like, look, there's so many people that they have said Mercedes Moné have been signed since the top of the year with AEW. So yeah,
this is why
just we don't know. Mean it ain't happening.
Listen, when you start being around wrestlers, like wrestlers who've actually been in a while, you realize that live fans don't know shit.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. I've gotten to the point of where I'm just like, listen.
RuPaul Rollins Fireway used to be, nah, dogs. You smoking.
Rollins is the face of that. Don't do that.
Rollins, nah. Like, Rollins, like, don't say he used to be. Like,
he's still dry ass Drew. I agree, Triple Nine. But we still ain't fucking with it.
He is, but like, how that Drew is a heel.
Well, yeah, because he getting booed. Like, listen, I'm old school when it comes to heel shit. So if you getting booed, you a heel for me. So like,
he's a heel.
The fact that he came out, got booed, I was thinking, right. Like, oh, he's a heel. Niggas ain't fucking with him now. But that's what he want. That's what you
right.
want.
Right. And after how that to say that RuPaul drag pull, I'm RuPaul Rollins.
It's because of that outfit. And it's just, nah, it's but whatever. I be want, listen.
That's him.
That, listen. Seth, listen, Colby, if you watching, if you end up getting this clip, Colby, I'm going to need that black jacket you had on SmackDown the other night when Dwayne got smacked, because that shit was hot.
My thing is this.
I rock that out.
My thing is this. Everybody make fun of his fit, though, but how many people try to dress like him now? How many people, like, that's the point of wrestling, is if you wear, like, an outrageous outfit and come with the world champion on Halloween, who am I? Seth Rollins.
First of all,
you're doing a great job. People could,
yeah.
If people could dress as you as Halloween, you're doing a great job.
No, I heavily agree with that. Like, if people, even when it comes to the Comic-Con things and the convention things, like, when people dress up as people, it shows the mark that they've made in the business for that fan. So I definitely think, it was a Yeezy coat? Yo, I'm going to need that immediately. It was such like a...
Ooh. That's like $500.
All right, Lauren. 340 asks, did you watch this week's Dark Side of the Ring episode featuring no other than Buff the Stuff, Buff Bagwell?
You watched it?
I did. So I'm gonna be honest with y'all. I did not think that was his real mama, ever.
Me either.
Popped so hard in my house. Like, Michael is a witness. I popped so hard to know that was his real life mama, because I was like, whoa.
Is Orange Cassidy doing a good job? Yes.
It's always doing a great job of what? Oh, niggas dressing up him? Absolutely. Yeah. This little kids that be in the front row, yeah, that got the jean jacket, yeah, the shades, and then they put the thumb up like him, yeah, and then they low high five him. So
yeah,
like,
so they did a great job. Yes. Yeah. What the hell? Yeah.
I will say.
But nah, personally for me, the Dark Side Ring, I know that was his real mother.
I did not. Yo, and I popped.
I never knew that. He never won no world title or no single titles in WCW.
Nah, he was a tag team champion.
No. I said singles title.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I looked at that, I said, in my head, I thought that he was the biggest star because that's how they presented him.
Well, that's how he presented himself. Mm-hmm. My man was married, what, three times? Two ex-wives on the episode. They both still love him. It's hilarious. They both were still like... Because that first wife, was definitely like, man, she definitely want to run around the block again if she could.
Yeah.
But she know in her soul that she can't, but in her heart, she would definitely wrap around that block one more time with that nigga now.
It was good.
But like, it was a good insight to, you know, yeah. even after. So the injury he sustained in the match with Rick Steiner, and to know how close Rick was with his mom still after the mm-hmm. fact, I thought that was dope. I said, oh, okay. You know, like, because accidents happen. And I felt like that was a great example of, like, an accident happening that no one would have known was going to happen in that manner and cause the, you know, the destruction after that, you know, all the drugs and, you know, things of that nature, him being in a car accidents. Breaking news, Aaron Donald announced retirement, but back to wrestling.
Who's that?
I feel like somebody in football, low key, but I'm going to look it up. Gene, who is that? Just so that I don't have to waste my time looking at the person. But no, I thought it was a very good episode. I thought I didn't even know that him and Uncle Tuco was tag team partners back in the day.
I never knew that.
I didn't know that. I knew the American Males thing. That I knew with Scott Riggs. That I knew because I watched WCW. But I didn't know him and Uncle Tuco. Well, see, yeah, that's what I said. I said it had to be football. Oh, that's the nigga that won when they won the Super Bowl, right? Am I wrong or am I right? Let me know. But I think that's the black nigga that won that year. And then, yeah. You know, listen, niggas is getting old, you know, in football. But yeah, super side note, football offseason has been wild and ridiculous. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, no, back to the Dark Side of the Ring episode. I love when the person that is highlighting is actually alive and in the episode. It makes a lot. It makes a big of a difference because you're getting the account of their story from their own words out of their mouth. And I think it's so important because I think for him and then the relationship he had with DDP and then knowing, you know, what one conversation was, you know, checking up on Scotty Riggs and him finding out that he was living in his car and he was down and out and he had a lot going on. And you know, having him, the three, you know, having him come to DDP's house and them all, you know, just, you know, rehabbing and, you know, building, still having that brotherhood. And I think that's one of the things I love about wrestling is the brother and the sisterhood in it. I think, you know, whether it's wrong, right, or indifferent, it's that type of family situation where no matter what, it could be 10 years down the road and you can still come back and have a conversation and be there for one another. And I think that is super dope. Yeah, nah, Buff fucked the bag up. I'll tell you that. He definitely fucked that bag up because I don't think he thought that they would let him go right after that. And they did.
With the whole hurricane thing?
Yeah, I was like, damn.
You'd have to slap him. That's not necessary. I was like,
it's hilarious. No, so yeah, so this week's Dark Side was really good. I was just shocked that was his real life mama because I was just like, and that he had shot his dad, and that became a thing. But then I love the fact that, you know, he turned when he decided to go into wrestling, that he decided to make it a family thing. So he hired his brothers, his parents, like everybody was on payroll, like
everybody.
And that's something that I thought was a good highlight to be made because his family, you know, had a business and it went, you know, went bankrupt and they went broke and they didn't have it anymore. So then him taking, you know, everything on his back, being the youngest of three and being able to go in and do and, you know, be natural at wrestling and make the money and bring his family involved, even to his mama, like that whole Judy Bagwell on the pole match. I was like, that is his real mama.
I didn't know that.
Like, because you had, look, Shelton Benjamin, when they brought in his mama, that wasn't his real mama. That was Thea from that was on the Thea show. Like, she had her own TV show. So, like, I knew who the fuck that was. So, like, you know, we go on as kids watching wrestling. We don't think that these are real life people. So,
Nah, we do.
I didn't.
Until we get older, we realize that, nah, that was my personal real mother.
Yeah, no, I thought that was like real life. But like that's what I said, the Shelton Benjamin one, I knew that was not real the moment I saw her because I was like, I've seen her on TV before. That ain't his mama.
I didn't even know that was his mother.
But yeah, no, Buff Bagwell. So anyone that has not watched it, Dark Side of the Ring episode, please go and do watch that episode. She was definitely shaving her son's balls. But listen, that's his mama. What you gonna do? Well, oh shit. 999, you may have a point. Putting his mama on the pole. I hope AEW don't go that low because that's outrageous. What else was going on this week? Oh, let me tell you something real quick. So anyone that does not know me or know me, I'm not a big gamer. It's not my thing. It's not my go-to. But my significant other is a gamer. He does like playing video games and stuff like that. And I don't mind it. You know, I let him rock out. So yesterday he was like playing. He turned on 2K24. And he clicked on. He's like, oh, he's like, yo, would you want to play the My GM? And I was just like, well, what does it entail? Like, but I've seen Woods and Breeze play it on Up, Up, Down, Down. So like I knew of it, but I like was like, well, how do you play it? Like, what do we do? But basically, you're basically the GM of a brand, and you're building a roster and setting matches and promos. And it is a whole like real life situation that I feel like I deal with on a daily basis. So so for the first time, I played 2K yesterday, my GM mode. So we're in week four. I think we stopped at like week four because it's 25 weeks. So we stopped at like week four, but it's cool. So like he's playing as Paul Heyman in the brand of SmackDown, and I'm paying Eric Bischoff, and I'm the GM of Raw. So it's very interesting. I'm gonna keep y'all posted on how this plays out. But I just thought it was super dope that we were able to play together. And I was just like, oh, this is actually my day-to-day life on the other side of the track. So this is actually kind of cool. And they rate the matches, they rate the promos. Like it's a very interesting take on how to be a GM of a wrestling company.
It's not because it's me together yet.
So no, I think that I definitely think GM mode is better playing with someone else. So like if someone does have it, playing it with another human, I think makes it worth, and you guys can make it fun and exciting. Like we are, like we're definitely, because I was just like, it's like playing fantasy football.
It is.
So I was sitting here like, and I helped his ass way too much this past season fantasy football. So I had to stop myself from helping this nigga pick at a roster. Because you got to look at the stamina, you got to look at the popularity, you got to look at the type of fighter they are. Like it is such a I got notes and shit. Like I got a whole notebook dedicated to this my GM shit. So I'm gonna keep y'all posted every few weeks on what's going on.
Like the only fancy I do enjoy,
but it's a good game though. I've seen Brooklyn Black play because I like the whole you got to go through, I think, WrestleMania moments to unlock things.
Yeah. Or and, like how to use by the accelerator.
Yeah, so when we were hanging out with Tasha and Brooklyn Black, he was playing the that mode. So he was playing as Ricky the Dragon Steamboat going against Macho WrestleMania 3. So I thought that was dope. And then the next one, I think it was like Ultimate Warrior and Rick Rude, I think, at WrestleMania 4. So like you go through these things and you gotta unlock, you gotta do certain goals and unlock certain characters. So stuff like that, I think makes it exciting and interesting. So, but I think graphically, they got all them old niggas looking like themselves. I think graphically, they did a very good job. And it's once again, it's coming from somebody that don't play video games. So I'm sitting here like, oh shit, that looked like Hogan. God damn, actually probably looks better than what he probably wanted it to be. But yes, anyone playing 2K, highly I recommend it. It's fun. If you do have somebody, whether it's a partner or a friend, to play the My GM mode, I do recommend playing that. It is very it's fun. I thought it was cool for someone that I was like, I don't want to play that. And then because you know I don't have to actually like wrestle or play, like you can simulate it or you can spectate.
And I use the camera all over.
Yeah. He said you can see the camera from the opposite of hard cam. Yeah. So like if you're on hard cam side, you can put that camera view, which I thought was dope.
And you can watch it from the audience. Yeah, different camera views now. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you can, I guess, wait a little. I mean, I'm still gonna get the Bianca and Rhea cover.
I don't have a PlayStation 5.
So okay.
So I mean, like I
that's
need to
fair.
Give me a reason. Yeah.
Okay, because yeah, he had just bought that off his tax stuff, so he got the PS5. But most of the games, because he was playing 2K, he was playing NBA the other day. He's playing. He always play Fortnite. So. Woo, Gene, we're going to get into that when this week in wrestling now. Don't jump the gun now, because, baby.
She's supposed to be our, right?
NXT was a sight to see this week. So we're going to get into that very shortly. Any other questions, actually, before we get into this week in wrestling? We want to talk about a little bit of SmackDown. Once again, the road to WrestleMania, and also AEW's NXT. So any other last questions you guys have for us this week? Where we can, you know, give you guys some honest feedback. You can get it for the PS4, he said.
Oh, then.
I'm weak. Then it changes my.
Ah, then I'll get it for PS4.
Wait, you really thought you couldn't get it because of PS5?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, yeah.
All right. That'll get it for the PS4, probably.
Gene, you know, unlock something for him. Right. I'm sitting here like, what?
Right, yeah, I could do that. All right, cool. Like, I was like, I'm not gonna get it this weekend because I won't be in town.
No, yeah, get it for when like you can really sit and play it, because like it's not something that immediate. Triple Nine said, I'm about to make everyone go one on one with the Undertaker. I am not, yo. But that's the other thing too, low key, is every time, like, if you back out of it, like if you don't save it, the roster changes. Like, we had did it, like, we when we first tried to do it, we had picked a roster, we went back and forth, we did a draft, cool, whatever. I must have pressed the circle button mistakenly, not knowing that it really was going to take us all the way back to the beginning. Mm. And this shit just went back to the beginning. So we said, okay, let's try it again. And then when we went and looked, the whole roster was different. Like, it was people we didn't see the first time on the second time. So actually, which makes doing the My GM a lot more fun, because you're always getting a scramble of roster people. Mm. And then, like, he was like, yo, maybe the next time we'll do, like, all-female roster and just do all-female matches or whatever, whatever. So, yeah, very highly recommended the My GM mode.
Like, you can make your own GM. Like, I
didn't, yeah, like, you could do, like, your custom you.
Someone last year did Dr. Umar. So, and it was all black wrestlers.
I am hollering so much. Because I don't play. So yeah, I guess when the DLC stuff comes out, because I think Phil's in the first round of DLCs, we'll get it. But yeah, no, I don't play. So like, if I play with Mikey, I will play like Uno, we'll play Game of Life.
Right.
We'll play normal board game shit for me. Cause him playing Fortnite, I could never. That is anxiety at its highest, and I don't like it.
I don't like playing multiplayer games online because people cheat.
Really? Uh-huh. I played Uno online.
I don't have okay. If I was in my teenage years, when I was in my adolescence, I probably have the time to actually practice, get good at these games. Mm-hmm. I'm not good. This is why I play a lot of one player games. And if I do play sports games, I need sports games where like you can play by yourself.
Okay, that's fair. He was playing Final Fantasy had just came out, so
I'll play
he
that.
He was playing that the other day.
I'll play that. I'll play that.
That's why I was like, this my nigga for life. Y'all don't even know. One of the games I used to play as a kid was Jet Moto.
Oh, shoot.
My nigga.
That's my shit.
My nigga.
Jet Moto?
My nigga found it on the PlayStation.
Yeah. They have
not
that,
one, but two. Yeah. Both. Jet Moto 1 and 2. So and then you know, back in the day when you used to have the code books, remember that? Back in the day? You said the code books and you could unlock shit. So he had unlocked
I don't play none of that.
All the tracks for me for Jet Moto, because he found the codes. Jet Moto. Yeah, no, that
listen, you brought it back with that, Jet Moto.
That is my shit. That Paha the rapper, that nigga be like, kick, push. It's all in my. That was my shit. Crash Bandicoot was my shit. Spyro was my shit. So like shit like that. Call of Duty, Rashad. I'm sorry, no. Once again, shooting games ain't. That's not my go to.
I'll play Call of Duty for the campaign and zombie mode. But outside of that, no.
Okay.
Zombie mode is basically like. It's basically survival. Trying to get harder and harder and harder. But I'd rather play that with friends.
Okay, fair.
You feel me? Like, if I play online, I'd rather play. It's called player versus event, not player versus player. Because player versus player, no. I like to say, hey, we gathered around. Let's do that cooperative. Let's shoot somebody. I like those. But playing against people.
I just feel like shooting.
No, because that hurts my ego. And people curse at you.
No. You know what? At least you are honest, and I can appreciate that. Grand Theft Auto is still a vibe whenever.
It's a good game. Like, Grand Theft Auto, like, I stopped playing Grand Theft Auto because I realized that.
What is there really to do?
Yeah.
Besides drive around and get stars?
Yeah, get stars, do missions. And people cheat online where, like, again, that's another cheating stuff. You feel me?
Mr. Black's like, fuck all this cheating
shit. So, I can't play. So, if you ever catch me playing video games, it's mostly one player game.
So yeah, so guys, if you guys are online players, and you know, once again, we are.
But I do have Uno though.
You say you have what?
Uno. I do have Uno.
Oh, okay, so we may have to get an Uno tournament together. Yeah. But no, those that are on the live feed and watching, put in the comments, put your screen names, connect with people, play with people online. Not like that, but you know, just we are a community, so people listen. Y'all didn't know that I played. That people don't know that you play. So
I ain't gonna front. I thought about starting like a little community where I play with all our fans online.
Yeah,
I thought about that.
I don't see why not. Like,
y'all niggas. Listen,
because we had to decide, because you know niggas are adults and niggas can't play video games every day. So we had decided we was like Thursday nights would be our GM night to play the game.
Yeah.
So that we know. But yeah, no, if you guys play online, no matter what it is, whether it's here in the comments on the live or on our Facebook group, Jabba Tears Podcast on Facebook, put your screen names down, add people, play with people, communicate, you know, hang out with people. Is listen, it is no type of, you know, no type of shade. Yusuf King, nigga, Alexis King, be nigga. I done seen these niggas more on TV than I ever did on AEW. That shit is unreal. Alexis King, fucking Brian Pillman Jr. ass on NXT every fucking week, causing mistress.
Somehow, somewhere.
Causing problems everywhere.
And mind you, NXT is one show per week. AEW have, at one point, don't forget.
They had like six shows.
Don't forget. No.
They had six. They had the two on YouTube.
Yeah.
They had Dynamite.
They had four.
They had Rampage. Yeah. So, okay, maybe four at the beginning.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
But it was still, you still like,
have four shows.
Oh, my God. Like, y'all had mad space to put somebody in.
And no. They still had five shows, including, like, Ring of Honor.
Lord of mercy. Efe with nothing but black. Well, Triple Now, that's basically Jabba Slam Loki. Yeah. So I ain't even gonna hold you. Jabba Slam 4 coming soon to a Brooklyn area near you. But yes. So shout outs to Jock in the building. Shout outs to Stephanie Hardy. I had the great pleasure of recording with her last week as we did this limited series part on women rivalries.
It was good. I watched it. It was good.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
So last week we did two rivalries that were in the Attitude area. So we did China and Ivory.
That was fire.
And then we did Trish versus Jazz. Like prepping for like talking about stuff, I had caught things and I didn't realize the Jazz and Trish thing was like over a year and a half, 2 year span. So I was just like, oh shit, this is pretty dope. So yeah, so you guys can go back, whether it's on the Jabba Tears Podcast YouTube page or any streaming platform, along Stephanie Hardy, the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, all streaming platforms. You can
listen
and watch the episode that we just recorded.
China's canon. Yo, they need to bring that back.
Yo, but
I feel like the one person who will rock it.
Oh, probably Jade. Probably fuck it up. Jade and the bazooka.
I wouldn't think about Jade. I think about Rhea.
You know what? Had she did the bazooka thing when she did the China gear, it would have made way more sense.
But I don't know how to do it. Like, so what's the whole fireworks thing and indoors though? Ivory was fine back in the day.
Yo, even with Right to Censor, bro. Like, she was a baddie. How could we be y'all when we grow up? But once again, shout out to Stephanie Hardy. Her lovely significant other is in the chat, so I just had to shout her out real quick. But make sure to view our latest episode. Like, he got to come up to New York. Stop playing these
games.
We got to
meet the McCoys. Because Stephanie Hardy act like they had a relationship or anything like that.
August 24th, everyone the live feed.
Y'all have to come.
Everybody. Get that ass to Brooklyn, New York.
To everyone out here who have a podcast,
okay,
a business, a restaurant, whatever you have, man, early sponsorship opportunity. We will take care of you. We'll take care of you.
So once again, if you guys do email for Jabba Slam,
right here,
that information in terms of the actual sponsorship opportunities will be emailed after our first Battle Club show, which was just announced April the 28th. Let's go. We're excited about that. So
wait. What's the date of Jabba Slam again?
Jabba Slam is August the 24th, 8/24/24, which also is All In weekend. So we are making it a weekend filled.
You said August 21st, right?
Yes, 24th, the 24th. Kyle, no. Kyle, listening. Don't type to him. Kyle, you already know what's up. I didn't even know it was Kobe Day. I know Kobe's a Virgo like me, so I didn't know that, but... But yes, no, Jabba San will be a part of our all-in weekend activities. So we will be having our viewing party, which will actually be our belts and jackets brunch that we've been trying to do since the pan dizzle. We will make Mr. Black's dream come true because he's been trying to do it since then.
I got a whole outfit for it, too.
Well, then you can use it on outfit. August the 25th.
I'm dressing up for that day,
which is the next day. So
I'm really going to dress up, too.
Okay, I like that. I want everybody to come out and dress with how you feel. That's okay. But... what were we just talking about?
Let's go back to This Week in Wrestling.
This Week in Wrestling. So, go back.
Okay.
What?
Let me start off with Raw. No. We got backtracked. I forgot about Smack.
Go back to SmackDown.
Honestly, AEW, take notes. Every week is episodic. You feel me? Like, not only that is they don't, like the whole show, mm-hmm. they advertise it for the main event, The Rock coming, talking, whatever.
All right.
But hey, you're gonna watch it. That's jam packed in the next 2 hours.
Right. With wrestling, with promos, with things of that nature. So no, it really was the SmackDown. SmackDown.
Literally, I see what you did, McCoy. Smack, I see what you did.
Dizzle. So once again, about 2 weeks ago, Dwayne had came on and said, "Listen, you're not going to get me by myself. It's me and my cousin versus you and Seth Rollins." He kept calling him a clown emoji. That was the funniest shit that I think he said in his entire fucking promo thing. That fucking clown emoji shit was hilarious to me. But he said, "Listen, I one up you. We do a tag match night one. And the rules are if you win, no bloodline. But if we win, all bloodline. Doesn't matter." So, this week, Seth and...
So, wait, hold on. No,
why did they come down to audience?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually asking this,
So Cody and Seth came on down out of the crowd. I was like, why are these niggas in the crowd? But I thought the camera angle was great. I don't care what anybody said. I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. So they came down and they accepted their challenge.
It should be Randy.
Nah, I don't think it should be Randy. I like the little Randall Logan Paul shit. So actually, I'm okay.
No. I'm not okay. Okay, I'm fine how the storyline is, but Randy, that's his man's. That's his mentor. That's a great spot to put him in. But I could see why they have Seth Rollins because to give the focus on the world title.
Well, also,
so
too,
I give him that. Yeah.
So, but also to Seth. Wait, because somebody said Seth had no business in the thing.
Yeah.
But Seth, if you go back, Seth always had, it goes back to the Shield thing with Roman. And how, and I even pull it back to that Rumble where they went one-on-one and he got screwed out of that title match. And, that nature. So I think Seth being in it does still make a lot of sense.
And he did say that, yo. And one thing that I have to give Seth credit, he said, yo, listen, I want to help you because I created this monster. Cause at the beginning, let me help you to end this monster who I is. You feel me? And he understands the importance of like, yo, listen, if we don't do this, if we don't stop them from now, my child's in danger.
Right.
Other child's in danger. Right. So I get it.
I think it always goes to how you view it. And I think even Randy, I think would have made sense still because would've of the whole good. Legacy situation and things of that nature. But I do think Seth being in it makes more sense because of the history him and Roman have. And I think that plays a huge part because, as you mentioned, it's like, I'd rather fight you because I know the devil we're fighting. And I know how to... I'm glad you mentioned that Triple Nine because, and it's something actually I spoke to with one of my coworkers at work. Cause everybody, I'm the neighborhood wrestling talker at my job. So I to that point, of Seth and not being able to fully trust him, I think that's what makes all of this exciting.
Yeah.
Because it's the unknown that I think us as fans, we get so gravitated into already planning the story, planning the winner. Like we all play GM mode when we watch wrestling. I don't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. We all play GM mode when we watch wrestling. Yeah. So as a fan, you're like, this can go. I want it to go this way. I think this will be the great way to go. But with this scenario that they've gave us, it can go so many ways.
Don't forget who they signed too.
It could go. What do you mean?
Tonga.
Oh, Okay, we're gonna leave that to the side. Hold on a minute. But
mad factors.
But that it could be where people think that Dwayne gonna screw him actually night one, screw Roman night one
or two.
But I think night two would be what would throw everyone off. So I think this is such the beauty that WWE has given us is the unknown. And I think that us as fans, 100%. We've been we grew up with the unknown. We grew up like, I don't know, like if you go back and watch anything, whether it's with Austin, Taker, Rock, any Triple H, any of that era, Attitude Era stuff, it was such the unknown. You did not know which way shit was gonna go. And I love the fact that right now we're in the period of time, WrestleMania season, of the unknown. This is honestly the first WrestleMania in a long time. I feel like that you do not know how night one will end. You do not know how night two will end. You do not know what the Raw after WrestleMania is going to look like. You do not know anything. And I think that's the beauty of it. I think us as fans, they've given us a gift. And I think everyone should shut the fuck up and enjoy the damn gift, because this is something that don't come around. It don't come around often. We always go into, whether it's WrestleMania or any PLE, into like, all right, this is predictable. Do we know what's going to happen? This is the first time of the unknown waters in a very long time. And I think as fans, we need to appreciate that. And as Gene said, we got to give it up to Trips. We got to get, everybody's playing their part. Everybody is playing a crucial part in all of this.
Don't forget is one thing I have to say is, even with the whole main event of Raw, mm-hmm. Chad Gable versus Sami Zayn.
I almost cried.
Like, certain people, like,
I almost cried.
Like, certain people getting upset. Oh, Sami, he shouldn't have won. Da 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 da. This, that, third. But the fact that Sami won and it's still weeks away from WrestleMania, you don't know how Chad Gable is going to be in that match. You don't know how they're going to do that. You feel me?
I'm so glad you said that, because you don't know.
And don't forget, people forget. Now, Backlash is just as important as WrestleMania.
And Backlash is in where Perry is in Paris. And actually, them just announcing, so also on top of announcing SummerSlam in that location, you got to remember, they just released the Money in the Bank combo ticket. So Money in the Bank this year will be in Toronto, Canada. They will have the SmackDown, they'll have Money in the Bank, and then they have NXT Heatwave during technically 4th of July weekend. So like, the unknown is like, it goes even to Money in the Bank. It goes to SummerSlam. We don't know what role they're going to go down.
It could be a situation. Don't forget about Damian Priest. He's a Money in the Bank winner.
Oh, that nigga.
This could be the first time ever. Listen,
I'm going to tell y'all right now. That nigga, because he's a nigga from New York, I'm going to tell y'all what's about to happen. Drew gonna get his moment for 2.5, just like Roman did, just like when Sheamus cashed in on him. Damian gonna cash in on him at WrestleMania.
Or it could be a situation
that's
where
what
like
I see happening.
It could be a situation where Damian Priest could be the first ever Money in Bank winner to actually hold it for a whole year and cash it in at Money in the Bank.
Yeah, he could do that too.
So you don't know. Like, there's so many different possibilities what's going on in wrestling. And one thing that I tell everybody now, wrestling fans, stop watching these gossip websites, stop watching these videos, stop watching it, stop following these wrestlers on social media and get upset with the new stuff that's in character. And guess what? I don't want to see your recovery, because I want to be surprised. Like, I want to see Braun Strowman come out. I don't know. Oh, shoot, Braun Strowman is back. I like that surprise.
So, but also there has to be a balance. So what I did like is on Raw, they did announce that Raw's gonna be in Chicago the week before it's here, because we're the go-home Raw show here in Brooklyn. The week before, they're in Chicago, and they had announced CM Punk was gonna be at the Raw at Chicago. And I like that, because once again, it's something that AEW failed to do when he had got injured. When he had got injured, they never put him on TV and used him. And I think they thought, and I know they probably are doing, that's why they're doing it now with Adam Cole. Mm-hmm. Because they know they didn't do that with Punk. Mm-hmm. And because of the lack of seeing the person, when then the person then got healed, it wouldn't have made sense if how long you kept them off TV like that. Mm-hmm. So I like the fact that they've been including Punk in whether it was the press conference, him being on that panel with Big E and all of them. I like that they used him for that. Mm-hmm. I like that they had announced him for Chicago, because once again, him, the money matches him versus Drew. And I don't know when y'all gonna do that. Hashtag hopefully SummerSlam. It could be Money in the Bank too. I'm okay with that too. But whenever you guys decide to pull that trigger, it'll be very good because Drew's done a really good job of still keeping Phil's name in his mouth.
So to ask you a question, how do you feel about Chad Gable losing?
So if anyone knows, I love Chad Gable. I've loved Chad Gable since American Alpha. Mm-hmm. Chad Gable. Like I've respected his craft. I respected his technical wrestling ability. I've respected the fact my nigga went from Shorty G in basketball shorts to Chad motherfucking Gable.
Yeah, he went back.
I can absolutely appreciate that. Do I think, was I upset that he didn't win? For like 2.5, I was. I'm not gonna hold. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna cap, as the kids say. I was a little upset about
him, that's good.
Him not winning just because of the, and what, and once again, production is on a different level when it comes to WWE. I don't even like comparing it with AEW because they're just not on the same planet when it comes to production. But the fact that throughout Raw, you had many segments, you had promos from each individual, except for Sammy, which I thought was interesting now looking at it hindsight, but every competitor, except for Sammy, had did a promo leading up to the match, which I liked. Because once again, it helped build to what was going to happen towards the end of the night, which I appreciated. And I felt like because of the promo that Chad did, I was just like, yo, this nigga made his daughter cry. Come on, guys. But once again, it keeps me invested. It keeps So what I like about, and we'll go to that comment. What I like the fact, though, is him losing now. When he does win, it will go so hard.
Yeah.
That pop and how the crowd will react to when Chad Gable wins is going to be well worth the wait, I think. It's the same like when they with LA Knight. When LA Knight really wins his first like big title and that pop, it'll be well worth the wait. When Jey Uso wins his first singles title, it'll be well worth the wait. And I think once again, the waiting game, you know, and once again, Sammy went through all that stuff with Bloodline. All that stuff, you know, getting the build up, trying to, you know, and that story of him feeling like he doesn't have a place and, you know, he's trying to figure out what's his road to WrestleMania look like. So I think that him winning made the most sense.
It doesn't make more sense.
But I do think that I don't see him winning, though.
But I don't see him winning.
That's the interesting part about it.
But then again, there's a lot of factors in. Because it could be like a position where Chad winning at Backlash. Because you need another headlining match for Backlash.
Or he could win at a random ass Raw.
Yeah, SummerSlam. Who you fucking feel me? Cares? Like we don't know. What would happen if Cody don't win?
We riot. We burn Philadelphia, Pennsylvania to the ground. we burn it down. To the ground.
If Cody don't win. I can't wait to laugh at everyone on the internet because everybody's going to cry.
Burn it down. I'm crying. I'm burning.
I don't care if you win or lose.
Burning Philadelphia to the ground, guys. They would have to explain to me definitely the night after, what are we going to do after the fact? Because I don't want him not to win and that whole stipulation of what Rock said, like, oh, you know, if you don't win, you'll never get another opportunity. And it's the same pit that he fell when he was in AEW when he said, listen, I will never go for the world title. It was like, wait, what? Why'd you cancel yourself out before you even got into the game, bro? What happened? So, like, for me to really be on board with still waiting for Cody to finish the story, yeah, they would have to explain to me how – I would have to see how this is really going to have to play out. But I
what honestly – What is it to play out, Janelle? He lost. That's he wasn't good enough.
But then what do we do? You know what I mean? Like, what do we do? I think I'm not worried about a record being beat. I'm gonna be honest with y'all. Since we family and we talking, I don't give a fuck if he beats Hogan's record or not. Like that is irrelevant to me. I'm so much more based on, I'm more story driven than anything in wrestling when it comes to that. I definitely think the story with, you know, the family and the legacy and Cody doing what his daddy never did. Like, all of that stuff is what I care about. I don't give a fuck about this nigga being champion for 3 years. I don't give a shit.
I see this way. Let's say, God forbid, Cody don't win, right? Listen.
He don't win. We go back to the drawing board and we figure it the fuck out.
Right. And, like, honestly...
Because to be honest, the title he should go after is Seth's.
Right.
If we're going to go based off of history and that... To be honest, he needs to go after Seth. And
honestly, if Cody loses, it gives him more things to do besides going after the heavyweight championship. Because I feel like literally, He has no substance to him. Because think about it.
Meaning what?
He came back. He feuded with Seth. Beat him 3 times. Seth beat him up. Cool. He came back. Won the Royal Rumble. Had a few matches. And no. Before the Royal Rumble, he feuded with Brock Lesnar for a little bit. And after that, he got Brock respect. Okay, what's next? You feel me?
Well, you beat the Beast, so now you gotta go after the Tribal Chief. Okay, WWE.
But my thing is this way.
Talked that whole up. I said,
But then again, everybody beat the Beast. But the Beast beat Roman. Okay. Roman beat him.
But you know, Tigger did.
Tigger did beat him.
But not at the biggest stage of
the technically. Take a dead beat him because he is erased from history right now.
Don't do that now.
Okay. Someone says this.
Gregory says this. Hey, Gregory.
If Cody wins, what does he do next?
He goes to SmackDown. Who's a heel on SmackDown? I don't know. Who's that's actually interesting because now thinking about it, what heels are on SmackDown that's gonna make the most sense to go against Cody, Luther X? After the fact, I mean, they probably will give Roman the rematch at if this is what happens. Because once again, we in my GM mode. If Cody wins, they may do the double back at Backlash in Paris. They may do the rematch in Paris, so that I can kind of see.
But okay, what is it next to do? Okay, Cody wins.
Once he's champion, listen, he could be a fighting champion. He can fight everybody.
Got a fighting champion.
It'll give, but that's the thing. I feel, and this is just me, once again, my GM mode, Seth is going to drop that belt. And Seth's going to go off. Seth needs to come off TV for a little
100%.
Seth got to come off of TV a little bit.
100%.
So that's why I said I think Seth will probably lose to Drew.
But what if?
But then I think Damian is going to
that'll cause the
rift in Judgment Day. Because if you remember, Rhea... And Drew was all kissy face.
Right.
And everybody was fucking with Drew for 2.5. So if Damian cashes in, takes the title off of Drew, that may cause a whole riff in Judgment Day.
But what if Damian Priest don't cash in on Seth and cash in on Roman?
I don't see that happening.
Look. Again, we just talking shit here.
No, I know. But I'm just saying to y'all, because we all just chit-chatting here. We all kiki-ing. I don't see him cashing in on Roman. I would see him cashing on Drew before I see Roman.
I mean, honestly, so many different possibilities for all of this. I don't know.
Yeah. So, but once again, this is the beauty of it. So, okay. So we had Raw. What happened on Raw? Oh, we had the Intercontinental title, right. Gauntlet match, which was dope. We are setting up an Iron Woman match next week on Raw between when fucking Nia backstage fucked them bitches up, I popped. That's oh my god.
You notice that
she
how
out
that
here running shit.
You notice how that nobody been talking shit about her, right?
Well, no, because you know she's doing her thing.
Like I just felt that Nia.
People
like,
just like a reason to complain. Yeah, like that's just what it is. Like not everybody's gonna be perfect in the ring. Not things happen in the ring that can't be explained or controlled. Like it's wrestling, it happens. But at the end of the day, like she came back and fucking dominated. She came back to then main event fucking Australia with fucking Rhea Ripley. Two Australia born women main event a pay-per-view. So what are we talking about here? But that's what I'm saying, Kyle. I'm glad y'all listening, because that's what I'm saying. Like, listen, what people, I think we are in for the swerve of all swerves, I think, at WrestleMania 40. I don't know in what way. I don't know in what manner. And I don't want to know.
Don't forget.
I don't want to know.
You got WrestleMania Monday and Friday Night SmackDown. Mm-hmm. So I said everyone this way. This is the first WrestleMania that I'm actually feel like a kid again.
Thank you.
Like, thank you. I'm a type of person now. They have like timestamps, all these wrestling videos. Of course, I watch a lot of them, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I do? All right, what are they talking about? Everything that I don't want to be spoiled about. Who's coming back? I don't want to hear none of that shit.
Yeah.
Only thing that I want to hear is, I don't want to hear about backstage beef no more, is me knowing what's going on backstage.
I don't need to know.
It does not improve nothing.
I don't
give a shit.
And it don't move my needle, so I don't give a fuck either which way. Yo. And I think that's what people don't sit back and realize for a second is like, we're in a time where we have Phillip Brooks, Dwayne Johnson,
Stone Cold,
Steve Austin, Cody Runnels. Like, we have all these people that if somebody would have said 3 years ago was not going to be, it wouldn't have been a thing, we'd have been like, nah, that wouldn't have been a thing. It's a fucking thing now. So it's very interesting to see what will happen in the next few months. I also did like Raw real quick. That women's tag team match, I actually really did enjoy. The Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark versus the Kabuki Warriors. I actually really did that.
And it's not them. Like, I'm sorry.
What do you mean? I like the match.
Like, it don't be the matches. It's the fact that y'all put on bangers after bangers, not to do shit with these girls.
Like, what do you mean?
Like Rhea, Shayna Baszler, right? She defeated Ronda. She has, like, she's the only woman to limit everybody in the Elimination Chamber. Everything she did in NXT, she has a repressive resume. Mm-hmm. But why did he relegate her to tag team matches? Like, she's a beast.
But I think her even being in a tag team sometimes can highlight how much of a beast she is, though. I think it could have been who she was tagged with that might have rubbed it the wrong way. I think her pairing with Zoe, someone that's up and coming, someone in her own right, then made moves in NXT, didn't come up on the main roster. I think the two of them getting together and tagging, it made sense. I liked it. I will agree with you. I do think Shayna definitely deserves one good run, regardless of what brand or where we do it at. I definitely think you're talking about the woman that was choking out bitches left and right at NXT. So, but no, I can agree to you with that. But speaking of NXT this week, baby, you're going to have to go back. Your homework assignment today is to go back watch NXT this week, because, baby, we are gearing up to stand and deliver in the best way possible. So they had, once again, they're doing a tag team tournament for the winners the week before, I think, WrestleMania, to go in a triple threat match. And that tag team will come out and challenge the Wolf Dogs for the NXT Tag Team Championship at Stand and Deliver. That's so this week, right? To see, say it again?
Stand and Deliver is WrestleMania weekend?
Yes, it's the same day as night one of WrestleMania. It's at 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
It's early in the afternoon time, but it's the pre-show before WrestleMania, because it definitely Stand and Delivers, okay? And I mean that in every which way, because we went last year. I tell people all the time, us going last year, I was going to go regardless because I love NXT, but to go at 9 o'clock in the morning, because remember, we were in LA, so the time difference was out this ass. We ate breakfast at the hotel, walked across the street to see that arena be filled from the, because the hotel we had, it had like sausage, eggs,
the waffle maker.
Yeah, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So we had breakfast, went over, and to see that, or to see the crypto.com arena be filled from the bottom to the top, I was just impressed. So I'm really excited for Stand and Deliver to be one of the must do's for WrestleMania weekend, a part of, you know, aside from WrestleMania night and one and two. Definitely highly recommend if you guys can go to NXT to do it, because they did announce once again Tony D'Angelo won last week, so he will now be challenging Ilya Dragunov for the NXT championship. And it was so interesting because they did a segment, and that's, once again, NXT does very well with promos, with segments, vignettes, all of that stuff. These niggas had Tony D and his people were sitting at the table eating, like, on some mob shit. Ilya Dragunov came, rolled up on them at the restaurant. I'm spoiling it for you, but I needed to paint a picture for you. Came to the restaurant to talk to Tony D about the NXT title match that they're about to have, right? So he goes, Ilya tells him, he goes, yo,
got Corey.
Shout out to Corey in the building. Make sure, Philly's going to be interesting to see you, my guy. That's really your city. So Ilya has said, you know, I like you, Tony. Like, I think we're going to have a great match. We have great understanding with each other. And then Tony D goes, yeah, I like you too, even after what's about to happen to you. And the two niggas, Stacks and the lawyer nigga had scooped up Ilya Dragunov, threw that nigga in a trunk, and they drove off. Yo, it was the hottest thing I've seen. I said, what in the law and order is going on here? Oh my God. And then they get to like some bridge and then he pop him out and they have a face-to-face conversation. He, talks to him. Tony D's like, listen, I know you mean look at me as the underdog, but I'm the guy that's been running NXT from the beginning. So yeah. We gonna go. And then he left me. He said, find your way back.
Why you did all of that for?
Because it was some gangster shit. It's like some mob shit. Like think of any mob movie you fucking watch and them niggas just leave somebody. But you're not
doing nothing. I just call Uber. You ain't doing nothing.
It was the visual of it because it was like, damn, that nigga stuck on the bridge by himself.
All right, niggas.
Because like, what if he don't got no phone? Then what? He got to walk back.
He's a right guy. He's going to be okay.
So no, that was great. The match with OTM, so the qualifying match with OTM, so the hood niggas, versus the LWO, which I understand now looking at it, that was a very interesting thing that they did. But
so they call themselves LWO and NXT?
Yeah, LWO, yeah.
Okay.
So
the NXT LWO.
No, it's the LWO niggas that be on SmackDown. It was them. The niggas that used to be with Santos.
Was it a good match?
Let me tell you. I don't know which one of them Spanish niggas, but he fucking hopped off of somebody back and his hop level is like Montez level. He jumped up so fucking high over that top rope into falling and Santuan bomb and these two hood niggas. I said, oh my God, he's going to kill himself. But LWO did win, so they did qualify for the tag team title shot. So that'll be really interesting to see. I think next week they have two other qualifying matches and then the last week will be the triple threat. This nigga's out of control.
You know that how that
that is the nigga you
know that how that he that, helped
he's out of control.
On Jaquan Wilder, he was one of
Didn't he like do something for RH and he built the logo? He designed the logo. I was like, because of him got
RH, yeah.
I said, I know he is very important, but he did do the logo. I did hear about that. But he's very talented in the ring. Both of them, actually. And I thought it was a very good match. And then we're gonna the ladies once again. Listen, you're gonna get about 2 to 3 solid women matches on NXT in a 2-hour span, and it's impressive. By far, I'm sitting here like, oh my God, how do we fit all this in to 2 hours? So it's so funny you mention that because I feel like it. So I physically have been there. I always say I went to the last NXT 2.0. So physically, it is a small place. It is not that big, but TV, I feel like, makes it look bigger.
That's the whole point.
I promise you, if you feel like it's a small arena, then when you're really there, you're like, oh, this is way smaller than I thought it was.
Watch
it
indie wrestling.
Because it really looks like, it looks bigger on TV.
We're big fan of indie wrestling, so the small arena don't bother me anywhere.
And because of how they...
And it feels better too in a small arena. Yeah,
and what I always liked about NXT is like you're gonna consistently see the same people because those are the people that come every week.
Yeah,
like literally they email every week, and me and Mikey be like, "Yo, how can we get to Orlando on a Tuesday just randomly to go?" Because it's such a great experience. So if you're ever in the Orlando area on a Tuesday, I would highly recommend going to NXT. But they ended off because once again, Trick Williams is back. And you know he was out looking for Mello, and lo and behold, No Man Dar and the Metaphor came out. Now listen, I love me some No Man Dar and the Metaphor. Like that whole group situation is hilarious. I still don't get why the African nigga be with them, but I do get it. But then I'll be like, he really is odd man out for me. But neither here or there. So No Man comes out, starts talking shit with Trick, and then we got. I thought it gave me Miss Elizabeth and Macho Man vibes.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what the fuck are we doing here? Where we had Trick Williams laid on. Actually, he didn't lay it on her. Lash low key pulled him in for that kiss. If you go back and watch it, she definitely was like, come here with yourself. And they had a whole kiss, and that is how NXT ended. And I said, what the fuck? What are we doing? But I love it because it reminds me of the drama, the things to look forward to next week. Because now, guess what? Now niggas is tuning in next week to find out, well, why did they kiss? What happened? What is going to become of this? So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens after that.
Always work.
Yo, I listen. I love it. But then shortly after NXT, I believe the next day, and we'll wrap up, I believe the next day they did announce that Carmelo Hayes versus Trick Williams will happen at Stand and Deliver. So now we got two matches set for Stand and Deliver. I'm excited for it. I actually low key, I like the little heel Roxanne Perez. I ain't gonna hold you. Mm-hmm. It's giving me very AJ Lee-esque. And I kind of can vibe with that. And I know Booker T be wanting to scream and holler for her. He's so proud of her. You could hear it from commentary. So I'm very interested to see that. But they'll probably lead up to her versus the Valkyria girl for the NXT women's title. The title she never lost. But she did not lose that title. But other than that, we once again are in a very exciting time of wrestling. Yeah, no, in person is very intimate, but it's very cool. I will absolutely say that. But we're in a very interesting time of wrestling. We're here on the road to WrestleMania. A few things, and then we'll sign off. WrestleMania week, Wally Mania Thursday, so you can catch us there. Friday night, 11:59 p.m. So after SmackDown, after the Hall of Fame, make your way to For the Culture. Shout out to Billy Dixon and everybody on board with putting on this show for WrestleMania weekend. For the Culture, it will be there Friday night, 11:59 p.m. If you cannot be there live and in color, please order it on Fight TV. And then Saturday, it will be NXT Stand and Deliver, WrestleMania Night 1, Sunday Night 2. And then after WrestleMania, now this is where we get into the indie stuff. Battle Club Pro presents Let's Go Sunday, April the 28th. Am I saying that correctly? My days all feel like the same. So yes, I'm right. Sunday, April the 28th, where we just announced our first match of Prince Ahmed, the Nemesis Battleweight Champion, going against well-known international superstar Masha Slamovich. She's back. She's coming home April the 28th in Brooklyn, New York. So make sure to get your tickets now. Anyone interested to sponsor, whether it's this match or the following matches, we will announce as the weeks continue. Please hit me up and let me know. Once again, we're super excited. It is the first show back of 2024 for Battle Club Pro. So we're super excited to be back. All matches are intergender, so we definitely are paying homage to everyone, no matter who they are, what they are. So it's all about just wrestling and being a family. So we're super glad to be back. So stay tuned for more information on the matches to come. But once again, if you're interested in purchasing a ticket, the ticket link will be in the description below, along with on our social media platforms as well, both Jobbeteers and Battle Club Pro. So make sure to go and follow us and get that information. And then after that, show, we will officially be on the road to Jobber Slam 4. Saturday, August the 24th. So make sure to listen. If you need your hotel book it now. You need your flight book it now. I'm telling you guys, this will be a show you guys don't want to miss. It is our end of the summer. Thank you, Christian Bailey, at the end of the show, making it rain. It is our end of the summer show. It is our homage to every single hardworking person of color in the wrestling independent business. This is our always thank you to you. So we're always excited around this time. So make sure if you do have any other information, you can hit me up again as well and let me know. Trying to think of anything else. The next time, once again, Legends will be live and popping for WrestleMania weekend. So the boys will be holding it down. And then we'll be back again for AEW Dynasty in April. So we got two pay-per-view viewing parties coming up. We've got a lot going on. So just stay tuned, guys. We thank you guys for joining us this early, late afternoon on the Friday. Make sure to always follow, subscribe, hit us up. We can always listen. We're always here to talk wrestling. So hit us up. Once again, I'm Janelle from HR here with Mr. Well, I was here with Mr. Black, but he rolled to the back. Sir Wilkins will be back with us next week, so make sure to tune in. We thank you guys for joining us. Miss Ann, thank you for joining us. You have a great weekend as well, love, and make sure to come out and support whenever you can as well. And hopefully WrestleMania is in your town, so maybe come and hang out with you. But thank you guys for joining us as always. Hashtag Black Excellence. Hashtag We Are Out. Oh, God.